Hello, Gateway family. So we're going to have a conversation with you this morning, a little bit about things here at Gateway. This is our last Sunday together as the Gateway Church of Christ. It has come to that. We've gathered probably 350 times, give or take, a snow day here or there, which means that we've taken the Lord's Supper together 358 times. What a special meal time that we've been together. Scott, I approximated that probably means we've sang about 1,500 praise songs or so, if that's four or five a service. Sometimes we had a song service that would have had more. So 1,500 or so songs that have been sung, prayers that have been prayed, asking for God's direction and for Him to work with us. There is something unique that happens when we meet together week after week. We start to formulate and understand each other. Sometimes we even start to finish each other's sentences. So we may get annoyed at each other a little bit. Sometimes we can get frustrated at each other. But then also we feel each other's pain. We sense each other's joy and excitement. And so there's something special. So Gateway Stories is today. Telling stories. Now, whenever you tell a story, you tell it from a particular vantage point. And so definitely that's what we're doing this morning. And so if we share your story, it is from a particular vantage point, maybe from our vantage point. We can't tell all of your stories. And maybe we won't tell all the details in the story that we tell about you. But these are the details that we have chosen. You see, there's something unique about stories. When we get together for weddings, we tell stories of the bride and the groom. When we get together for funerals, we tell the stories of the deceased. When we get together for reunions, we tell the stories of the days of old. And so it seems appropriate today that as we conclude our time together, that we tell stories. And so we're asking, what ties these stories together? And it may be what the French call the ingredient secret. And you may understand even in English what that is. It's the secret ingredient. What is it that has made this fellowship, this family, so special? What is that ingredient secret? What is it that has been a part of Gateway's history, a part of Gateway family that has made it so special? I believe it's found in several scriptures in the Bible. The Bible says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We see Jesus says it so well in the passage that we know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Or the apostle John says it also so well. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. The letter to the Thessalonians that was just read a moment ago, I think, is very appropriate for our time together because it's Paul thanking God for this Thessalonian church. And he says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, faith, hope, and love. And so maybe the ingredient secret for Gateway and in these stories is the word love.
So before we get into sharing these stories, I want to address something. I want to feel the emotions in the room. I imagine a lot of us are feeling sad on some level. And I would say this, maybe we're feeling sad. It makes sense because we're losing something that's been so good to us. I would say not only is feeling sad for that reason, it's not only understandable, it's emotionally healthy. Because because if something's been so good for you, you feel sad to lose it. However, I suspect that some of us might also be feeling sad for a different reason. We might be feeling sad because we feel like we've lost a battle, or that we failed to do the task that we set up to do. This is what I want to say. I say we shouldn't feel sad for that reason. I want to push back against that line of thinking, and here's why. Because we know what task this church set out to do. How do we know that? We wrote it down. We wrote down what we're supposed to do in our mission statements. So I said, why don't we look at those real quick? This is what we set out to do. How did we do? Now, those of you will remember, we had two mission statements in Gateway's history. The first was a simple and catchy, grow, lead, love. Those pins that are pollinating everywhere, like it's on all of those. We'll see that one. And I think you'll hear in these stories today that a lot of growing, a lot of leading, and a lot of loving happened here at Gateway. And remember, the reason why we created the second mission statement is because we felt we had been fulfilling that first one, but we thought that God was leading us to a new mission statement to help clarify some things for us. So we ratified this new mission statement, and it's a little wordier. It's not as catchy, and it says, Gateway exists to bring people closer to Jesus by sending love inward, Godward, and outward. Now, you'll notice there's some continuity between those two statements. The through line for both of them is love, because it's our ingredient secret.
That's right.
I also don't speak French. Sacré bleu. Now, we said bringing people closer to Jesus, that's the reason Gateway exists. And you'll see evidence when we tell these Gateway stories of people coming closer to Jesus in our stories. So we shouldn't be troubled by that question, did Gateway do what it was supposed to do? Because I think it'll be pretty clear that looking back in those stories that we did do those things. We did love in all those ways.
I think you're so right. And reminding us of our mission and what we have done is such a powerful thing. We truly have been sending love inward, Godward, and outward, which spells I go, right? And very similar, we have gone together as a church, and now there's a sense in which you go on your own. I go out to bring this love to the world around us. And so I want to remind you as we share these stories, we may not share the details exactly the way you would want them to be shared or tell all the stories that you would want to share. That's why we have time together afterwards. It seems like Gateway in its history has spent more time after church than even during worship. So for every hour that we've been together during worship, surely there's been at least two or three outside of worship. And so let us begin by telling these stories.
So if I'm going to tell a story about Gateway's history, if I'm going to pull up the Wikipedia page of Gateway I have pictured in my head, I go all the way back to the Brunswick days. I think about the picture of those four couples of church founders. You know, the picture of where the Williamsons and the Pinnocks are in there. They're like, what, 14 years younger in that picture on the swings? I think it's important to kind of go back to that history and start that story there. Why do I think about those two families and go all the way back there? Because the Williamsons and the Pinnocks have been such foundational leaders for us, and they have been leading us for so long. Now, I really think it's helpful, if I'm going to tell the story about the Williamsons and the Pinnocks, to think of them as both foundational leaders, and there's like a meaning behind the foundational part and the leadership part. Let me put it this way. It is easier to be a follower. It is harder to be a leader. It is easier to be a regular member. It is harder to be a founder. And the Williamsons and the Pinnocks were both foundational leaders for us. And you guys are foundational for us because you started something. You founded something. You were an integral part at starting and sustaining two church plants, and that's hard work. Now, a foundation, it gives support and shape to the rest of the structure. And we can all recognize the Pinnocks and the Williamsons have greatly, profoundly shaped our churches. And I think this empowers the rest of us and empowers other people. You see, other people can give their support to a church. They can play their role in the group, but first, they need somebody they can lean on. They need a pillar to lean on so that they can give their own support to the rest of the structure. And the Williamsons and the Pinnocks are pillars in our communities, and so many of us have been leaning on them for a long time. Many of us can be followers, but we need somebody to go first. We need somebody to show us how it's done, to blaze the path for us. And in many ways, the Williamsons and the Pinnocks have stepped up to be our leaders and to blaze that trail. And you guys, we trust you because you're worth following. You've proven that. Carl, I do have a question for you. How are you guys as church leaders feeling at this point of transition?
Yeah, I was thinking, as I've just been sitting here in worship today, like some of your faces come into my mind, and I think of you past this day. I think of you sitting in another church location. I think of you and your faith and whether or not it's growing. And there is a great level of sadness in leaving this place. And I also, as I remember back, I think of Scott, I was thinking of this week, just us envisioning of going to a place and making an impact somewhere. I mean, we were just really young kids in college. Now I realize with my kids growing older how young we were. We thought we were invincible, but we were just in college and we dreamed of making a difference in people's lives. And the more I've thought about that time, the more I've realized that the faces I saw at the party the other night, the faces I see in this room, that is why God sent us here. And so it reminds me of God's great love. It reminds me of how he has answered my prayers, and I think Scott's prayers as well as he is working in your lives. Maybe he had answered your prayers that even came before we even had the dream that God gave us. And so that's what I think about.
So we had this farewell party last Saturday, and we packed this building with people. And it makes sense why a lot of people are here is because the Brunswick Church and the Gateway Church, they touched a lot of lives. Now, by show of hands, raise your hand if somebody was at this party that you hadn't met before. It touched a lot of lives, and like there were Brunswick people, Gateway people there, and I bet like a lot of us were like, I didn't even know that you were connected to us church people. But let me put it this way. I don't think there was hardly anybody there that didn't know either the Williamsons or the Pinnocks. And that, again, speaks to them being such integral families to both of those churches. The Pinnocks hosted Brunswick in their own home for so many years and sustained it for most of the time when I was there at school and everything. The Williamsons, I mean, the church's mail goes to their address, right? You know, there's something to be saying, like when you're at the core of something. And I'm sure I could have gone up to anybody at that party, and I could have asked them, tell me a story about the Williamsons and the Pinnocks. Tell me a story about Carl and Scott and Alicia and Rachel and what they've done to you. And I'm sure there's thousands of stories. But because I'm the one up here with the microphone, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to use my own personal stories, okay? As we're preparing to say goodbye in our to our Gateway family, I'm reminded of, I've said goodbye to my Gateway family before. When I finished school and I first moved back to Tennessee, you know who are largely responsible for me coming back in the first place? It's the Williamsons and the Pinnocks. See, once I moved back to Tennessee, it wasn't long before Carl was persistently calling me and recruiting me to come back. And those of you who know Carl should not be surprised at all at this kind of relentless pursuit behavior. That's definitely Carl. The Pinnocks facilitating using Brunswick's resources to pay for my salary the first year came back. They made it possible for me to come back in the first place. And let's not forget what was supposed to be just, you could stay with us for a few weeks, Jordan, has turned to years of me living on the Williamson residence. I have been there so long, I had Wi-Fi installed. The Williamsons and the Pinnocks have shown to me especially, but also to so many of us, the secret ingredient. Love is well at work in their lives because they are so clearly propelled by love to be the kind of leaders that the rest of us can lean on.
Yeah. It's funny because when you look on Google Maps, a lot of times you'll find Gateway Church of Christ at my residence. Mm-hmm. We'll just say Gateway Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's actually my house.
Yeah.
It's funny with that. And it has been 2 years, Jordan. That's how long you've been in my house.
You didn't know what you were getting into.
It's quite a while. You know, we a part of our history is that we had these interns, which have been such a blessing to us. You guys, some of you remember, obviously you'll remember Jordan, but some of you remember Clint and Kyle as well. I talked to Clint this week. He's working at a church in Texas, and he's doing so well. I mean, he's just encouraging that church. He's preaching at least once every month. He met up with a friend that he went to high school with the other day, and they go biking and hiking and all this stuff, and he didn't have a relationship with God. He's been talking to him about God, invited him to church to come here and preach, and now that young man has been coming to church every week. He's reaching out to lost people. He's sharing the gospel. I mean, here we have some of those who we have loved and who have loved us who are now loving others all the way down in Texas, right? What an encouragement. He remembers that memory from some of you young adults where you saran wrapped his car. And then he said, but Carl, you know, I ordered that anchovy pizza for them that same night and tried to put vinegar in the water. I don't know if you remember that. So it was like this, you know, playful banter back and forth. Kyle was this like, you know, he was just a brain. You know, he was good for us for like knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He was such a blessing to us. I don't know if you remember, but Kyle and Clint had come up with this idea that they were going to teach a class on church history, not restoration history, but church history and what we learned in church history. And I was like, oh man, I don't know if this is going to work. And for those of you who sat in on that class, it was such a blessing to think through the Trinity from historical perspectives, to think through baptism from historical perspectives, to think through church and what church is from historical perspectives. I mean, Kyle and Clint have been such a blessing to us, those interns that we have. And of course, you were one of our interns. So any memories from those days that you can think of?
When I think back to the internship days, the first thing that pops in my mind is Clint and I commuting from Princeton out here to Gateway together. We would spend a lot of time in the car, and we would spend this time doing like Gateway stuff together. We went a long ways, and we were spending a lot of time doing Gateway stuff because it speaks to the nature of Gateway. There's some secret ingredient here because you guys were a church worth commuting to. Mm-hmm. You're a church worth like us investing in, like committing in. Some of you were surprised like to hear this. It was like, oh, you guys must see each other all the time at campus. And sometimes me and Clint would look at each other and say, we actually see each other more at Gateway stuff than we do at school stuff some weeks. That's how much time we were spending with Gateway. And other seminarians get internships. And Clint and I just kind of noticed that, they weren't spending as much time at their churches. And sometimes they were complaining that it just wasn't a good fit. It just wasn't working out. And so we really got this sense that, like, wow, there's something really special about this church. It's something like unique that we got going on there, and like so we appreciate what we got. And man, I was so glad that I got the opportunity to do it, that Clint got the opportunity to do it, and Kyle too, because those are some stellar guys. We had some great interns. I guess I didn't mean to throw myself in that category. I'm good to be associated with Kyle and Clint. And we even tried looking for new interns, right? But it was like trying to get lightning to strike twice. We had lightning strike three times with that internship. It was just such a good fit, I thought.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And I think of this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 4 and 5, as it says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake." And I just want to say, Jordan, you came to Gateway at just the right time, not as an intern, but then returning to us right as we had lost the McDuffs and the Zielinskis and the Grosses. That's when we all found out that Jordan was coming, and it really was a breath of fresh air. It was like God had sent us an angel in you, and I do really, I say that jokingly, but also seriously, believing that the last 2 years would have been very difficult without your presence here. And I think everyone in this room really appreciates you and wants you to be doing well and loves you and who you are, which is why we all wanted you back here. And so I doubt very much that anyone would question our desire to want you to be here, which is why we kept you on longer. Jordan just has his priorities straight in a way that I don't see in other people. You just have a clear understanding of the church and its importance. And I said last week, that is one of the tools that God has given us. It's the church. Just as much the Holy Spirit, there is the church. There is power when we come together as church. And I love just that you have that love for the church. And you guys all know, if you call Jordan up, he'll do just about anything for you, whether that's watching your kids or helping you move something. He will play games with you. He has, you know, you have brought joy into our lives in a way that we never had before with these board games, right? I mean, he makes us laugh, and you just have brought that joy of the Lord. And I think it's funny, but it's also serious that God's people should be joyful people, shouldn't they? And you've just brought a little bit more of that. And that's better to bring than almost anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate the man you are and for you coming to be with us.
Yeah, if having fun's a spiritual gift, I think I might have it.
Yeah.
And man, I preach the good news of board games like I preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Thank you for those kind words. I'm really feeling the love, but as a... I'm going to deflect it off of me, and I put you guys in the spotlight. Who I really want to talk about now is Dan and Allison, who I might be talking fast. I might combine their names into their couple names, Dallison, but that's just me trying to talk fast. I mean, we know Dan and Allison, they're both their own separate persons, and, like, we can't conflate the two together. But one of the reasons I want to talk about Dan and Allison is that in the Wikipedia page of Gateway, in my mind, there's our founders, but then there's the poster children. And who's the obvious choice for being the poster children? It's Dan and Allison. I mean, look at them. I mean, they're in the front row, but you guys can literally look at them, right? If we were going to put up a poster advertising what Gateway is like, Dan and Allison would be the obvious choice. I mean, they're young. I mean, Allison's especially young. They're both good-looking. Well, that's more so Allison than Dan. They're both kind and patient. Well, again, that's more especially Allison. You know what, Dan? Maybe you shouldn't object to being conflated with Allison. I think you only benefit from the association. Seriously, though, both of you guys, we're so proud of you. We're so happy that you guys are together. The reason why this church is so proud of you guys is because Gateway has been so invested in you guys over the years. Now, understand, one of the reasons that churches are very interested in you is because you're in this very important part of your life. You're young adults, right? Being a young adult is such a pivotal and formative time of your life. See, when you're a young adult, you have so much potential that you're just starting to realize. Now, to be fair, like our even younger kids, our youth, they have more potential than young adults, but their lives are on a little more linear track. You're second grade, then third, you know, you're on a linear track. But when you're a young adult, it's like you have all this potential and you can go so many directions. Does that make sense? So I think in church culture, this leads to like a super interest, maybe a little bit of an over interest in our young adults. And our church has taken up a big interest in Dan and Allison. And this usually takes the form of like a million questions, and the questions are all somewhere along the lines of, what's next for you? What's next for you? Have you considered this? What's this? What's this? And there's also, it might take the form of maybe being real eager to give some direction or some advice. And it's, I like to think that it comes from a good place. It's because we're invested in you and, oh, the places you'll go, right? And I like to think that what motivates that investment in you guys, I like to think that it's motivated by love. And I like to, I would hope that from your guys' perspective, to be on the receiving end of all that attention, it feels like being loved. So Dan and Allison's story in particular is dealing for us Gateway people, because we've seen them grow up, we've seen them get engaged, and we're really happy about that. But I think back to like when they like first started dating, and how like everyone in this church knows about it, and everyone in this church had an opinion about it, especially some younger ones around here were really kind of vocal about their opinions about it. So actually, Carl, this, I kind of want you to jump in on this, because your girls in particular are very fascinated by Dan and Allison. Do you want to talk about them being an example to our church?
Yeah, and so I'll talk to the kids, not Dan and Allison, but to the children. And just say, look to Dan and Allison as your example. And maybe to the adults to say, look to Dan and Allison and what they've accomplished Okay, so there's two parts to that. The children say, look, why can't you be serving in really big roles in the church? I mean, Dan gets up. He's our treasurer at Gateway. Many churches wouldn't have somebody as young as Dan as treasurer. Allison is on the finance team. What a blessing this congregation has. And many churches say, well, how are two young people like that? They could totally mess it up. And let me tell you, I've been a part of church work for a while. I've seen plenty of 40-year-olds really mess it up, all right? So people much older. And so kids, see the potential you have. Just as young people, you can lead the church. You be church leaders like Dan and Allison. Mm-hmm. Be willing to take on that mantle and do it right and follow through with what you do. And for those of us who are older, let's let the younger ones take up the mantle sometimes, right? Let's let them lead. Let's walk beside them. Let's help them become who they need to be. And for Dan and Allison, thank you for being willing to do that.
Yeah.
Because that is following God in a powerful way. So thank you.
Along those same lines, I think Dan and Allison are young, but they've proven themselves to grow into like mature, exemplary Christians. And we're glad to see them serve that way. And to their credit, I think they've shown like wisdom beyond their years. They've sought out the advice and wisdom about those that are more advanced in years, about each of them making a career change and that kind of stuff. And the other thing I think about like Gateway story, it produced an engagement. It produced a marriage. And that their story is going to continue once we close the chapter on Gateway story. That in and of itself is just one open and closed example of Gateway having a happy ending. So yeah. Dan and Allison, thanks for showing us love as such an integral part of the Gateway story.
All right, let me say this, Jordan. We got limited time here. So we need to talk through several other stories. And Nico and Allie, you guys know, I talked to you, Nico, this week. We want to tell your story. And, of course, you went to Harding. You're Christians. And we know, Allie, we joke with you about that sometimes you attended Bedside Church of Christ, though, right? So we don't know exactly how well that walk was there. But, of course, you were strong Christians. And then you went to California. And as it is, when you leave school and you're veering out on your own, it's easy to kind of get sidetracked a little bit. I know you guys were attending a church there some and were active some, then came back to New Jersey and remembered Freehold Church of Christ as a great place when you were young adults, with young adults and teens, and then started coming, and maybe your life was at a little different place because, hey, God gives you twins, you know, and it's a different thing. And so it's like, okay, you go some and you're active some. And then you hear about this church plant starting and you come and you're a part of Gateway. Some of you have been around here for a little while now, seen Nico and Allie. I got to tell you, and I'll even say to you guys, there are many days I prayed, like, please let Nico and Allie just be active, be here every Sunday, because I know that God has such great potential for you. And there would go periods of time sometimes, if I'm honest, there would be like 3 or 4 weeks and I wouldn't see you, and I was saddened by that, and I thought, boy, the church just has so much that it could use you with. But since that time, it has shifted so dramatically. Allie has become so active. She leads so many of our fellowship events. She's one of our deacons. Allie led worship for the women at Camp Manitani a couple weeks ago, and it was just the most beautiful noise, right? It was so wonderful. You guys are here every week. You're helping in class. You're raising your children. Nico, I hear your stories from the Lord's Supper up here, right? There's all these like unique illustrations that Nico gives. It's such a blessing. And so I really appreciate you, Nico, and just how you have served. You may or may not be aware, Nico runs all who serves in the worship area, and it's become so much more organized since you took over. You've led the website and the blogs, and even this recording is going to go online because of you. And so Nico has served, and Nico, I appreciate you. You never have to have the spotlight, and you can just serve and work so hard just behind the scenes. You guys may or may not be aware that years ago, we were doing small groups in the summer, and our small groups met in different locations. And so Nico, I encourage Nico to choose a location. And so where do you think he chose? He chose the beach. And so we went out to the beach and I said, look, Nico, if you're in charge of this one, you need to lead the devotional time out there. And he told me only afterwards that this was the first devotional he ever led. And the title was Aloha. And even from that lesson, Nico, Barbara Gross was remembering it. We remember it. And we had fireworks. It's the only small groups. We had free fireworks overhead. So if you want a great small group, you let Nico run it. And so we want to thank you guys because you have truly displayed the love of God in the way you've served. As deacons, you have served in a powerful way. So thank you.
Can I comment on Nico and Allie?
Quickly, and then move on.
Yeah. One thing I want to say about Nico and Allie, in ways they demonstrate Christian maturity and servant-heartedness, is that they continue to serve even when they're working through their personal reservations or wrestling with whatever they're wrestling with. We talked about this in the Reason for God class. Someone wrestling with and thinking through faith doesn't necessarily mean that your faith is weaker. It actually means it might make it stronger. And if you hear Nico speak up in any of our meetings, it's like, wow, that's a really good objection, or, oh, they're really wrestling with this, or Allie, it was like a big deal when we were doing some like changes to our worship service and everything. It was like, Allie, could you serve this way? And you were like, I don't know if I can serve this way. And we're like working through it. It would be easier to look at that and be like, I don't want to be a part of this. I'll just opt out. I'll be on the sideline. But you guys didn't do that. You stepped up in the plate. And as you worked through those things, that's the servant heart part of it. And I think you made such a big impact. And I'm so glad that you did.
Amen. Yeah, and this next verse here, verses 6 and 7, really describe Nico and Allie as well as our next story. It says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia.
Okay, I want to talk about the Union Beach Four. I want to talk about the Sadlers and the Herzogs because they are some of my favorite people in the world. And when I think about their story, I think a large part of their story is falling in love with our church, the Gateway Church. Now, Diana will tell the story about how she's at one of her first Gateway Bible studies, and she and Terry, they're in trouble. They got this dilemma. They got this washer and dryer at the bottom of the house, but a storm's coming, and we might flood, and how are we going to get it up the stairs? Now, if you know Terry and Diana, you should not be surprised at all of this situation. They get themselves in these kind of scenarios all the time. What are we going to do? And so myself and Al and Joe Tamborillo, and we were like, we'll come over. We'll move the stuff for you, right? And I'm thinking, it's like, this is just what church Bible study, this is just what we do in a community of faith and everything. But Diana says, and Terry too, said that it made an impression on them. It's like, we just met these people, and they're moving our furniture. If you also ask the Sadlers about their story, they'll say that, you know, they really went through the ringer when it came through Sandy. And one of the things they say they discovered is they discovered the difference between your true friends and fake friends. What makes a true friend and a fake friend? They said that they felt let down by some of their old friends who couldn't be bothered to lend some help when things got tough. But real friends will stick with you even through hard times. We did that sermon about sticky friends. And over time, For them, Gateway was proving to be a group of the kinds of friends who stick around. So over time, these guys really connected and fell in love with Gateway. And I would also want to say this. I think they themselves have proven themselves to be the kind of friends who can be trusted to stick around, which I especially appreciate it. So thank you for sticking around and being loyal with us guys, even through Gateway's hard times. Is there anything you want to say about...
I said to the kids, I said, what do we say about the Sadlers and Herzogs? And Ellie pops up with this word right away. She said, committed. They are committed. And that is exactly right. You've stuck with us, and I really appreciate that. You're very committed, and you're committed without expectations. Peggy, she makes stuff for every meal, and she has no expectations of if anyone else brings anything else. Terry and Diana the same. Terry and Diana are probably better at integrating faith and friends than anybody in this church, I got to say. They bring church people in with non-church people all the time. And I haven't seen anyone do it quite as well as you. And so keep that up. Herzogs, you guys are just You are just perfect for Christians and for how you serve. Al always, well, he doesn't always pick up the phone if you call, because he may know that you need some help, but he does come down and he helps move things and always lends a hand. So thank you for being that for us.
I've become really good friends with these four. They're real. We spend a lot of time together. Sometimes we stir up a little bit of trouble together. But I think about I take it for granted now, because it wasn't very obvious that we would become friends. It wasn't very obvious that you guys would connect with our church. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of reasons why you wouldn't, why it could have happened differently.
Hugs.
Yes. There's all these deal breakers, right? But as unlikely as it was for you guys to connect with our church family, something trumped all those objections and all those reasons to stay away. Slowly over time, I think we just mutually fell in love with each other because of the secret ingredient of love.
That's right.
A strong bond was formed. Love is the secret ingredient that binds us together. And you said what I wanted to say too. Once you know what the secret ingredient is, you want to sprinkle it in everything. They've done a really good job of integrating the spark that they found in church life with the rest of their life. Why would you want to keep church life separated from the rest of your life? The reason is if one of you is being fake. Maybe your experience with churches is just with those fake friends that aren't the real friends. But like, if you have a taste of what true love is, you want it to just bleed through and connect through all parts of your life. And I see that integrated really well in the Sadlers and the Herzogs. So thank you, Terry, Diana, Peggy, and Al.
So one last story, and it's really the story of the McDuff family, and I want to tell it this way. First of all, I talked to Sherry this week, and she's teaching in church, the kids' classes. She's sharing her faith, which we are not surprised by. She is faithfully still teaching her kids about God. She misses many of you and saw the pictures recently and was just brought back great memories. But that time that we went through with John and Sherry was very difficult for this congregation. For those of you who don't know, they were very active, a part of our church. John was one of our deacons. And very quickly, it was found out that he had cancer and that he wasn't going to last long. And this congregation showed love and maybe that secret ingredient in a way with the McDuff family that really is displaying who we are as a congregation. I don't know if you guys remember, Sherry didn't even pack up her own house. Can you imagine moving and not packing your own boxes? The people who packed the boxes were the people who were part of this church. The Gray family rented an RV and got John in a bed onto an RV and drove him down to where he wanted to pass in Texas, because he really knew that his wife would need to be there with her kids once he passed. I mean, it was only a short time after they got down there in the RV and got him settled that he did finally pass. I mean, have you ever heard of a church who rents an RV and brings a guy down to Texas? I mean, have you heard of a church who packs up an entire family, or even a woman who trusts a church to pack up all of her belongings and put it in pods and then never sees the house again? In fact, the last person to see that house was Diana. She was the last person because she volunteered her time to clean the house for them at the end of the move. You see, the McDuff family is a story that displays the love that this congregation has, the love that you shared for them because of the love that they also shared with you, but because of the love of God. For that is the secret ingredient that makes up Gateway and who we are. And so I hope that you hear that in our stories together.
Should I do a closing comment? Okay. So in closing, I want to return to this idea of Gateway doing what it set out to do. I hope we've demonstrated from these stories that we did do those things, but I want to add that we are not done doing those things. Gateway's story may come to a close here, but our stories are going to continue. The Gateway story is like a chapter in our spiritual biographies. And it's healthy to look back over this chapter. It's healthy to be looking back at that chapter, but I want to say we should also be looking forward. Now, let me be clear. Take all the time you need to look back. I imagine that when we go to this picnic, there's still going to be even more stories flowing because it's good to look back. It's good to tell these stories. In the future, sometimes, sit down with the book of your spiritual biography, open it up and turn to the Gateway chapter and reminisce how you saw the love of God displayed in your Gateway experience. I just don't want any of us to only be looking back. So my final exhortation preaching at a Gateway service is this. I want us all to also be looking forward. I want us to look forward to continuing to learn and grow into better Christians. I want us to be looking forward to serving with other church communities like we've done here. We know the secret ingredient. We know how to do it. We know the secret ingredient is love. And if we are being really forward-looking, guess what? We should be looking forward to all of us being reunited again when Jesus comes back. This is not our final goodbye, church family. In this life or the next, we're going to be together again. And I trust that God has a lot of good things in store for us until then that we should be looking forward to.
So maybe we'll close with this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it talks about the Thessalonians and that the Lord's message rang out from them because their faith in God had become known everywhere. And I guess my final exhortation is that as well. May the Lord's message ring out from you as you live out your faith in love. May Gateway stay with you as you share the message of the gospel with those you come in contact with. Let us pray together. Holy Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share these stories together. We pray that they have reminded us of some of the things that we love so much about this church family. We pray that it has brought up other stories in our minds that we can share or we can at least reminisce about. Thank you, Lord, for those individuals that we mentioned today. Thank you also for all the other individuals that are sitting here that were not mentioned. We thank you for their stories, how they've impacted us personally and as a whole. We thank you, Lord, for those Gateway members who've moved on from here. And we pray that we thank you for their kindness towards you and this church. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for that love that was displayed on the cross as your Son Jesus took on our sin on that cruel cross. We thank you, Lord, that you displayed your love by putting Jesus in a tomb with the pause in between. And then we thank you, Lord, that he did not stay there, but that he rose again to bring joy and love back into the world. We pray all these things through Jesus, our Savior. Amen.